Let's go to this. Let's just start with overall, then we'll kind of dive in, and I have some questions for you. But give me, let's just start the rundown. Overall, what
Yeah,
happened, Tony?
the our most wanted driver of 2024 is the
What is up, everybody? How you living? No putts given. Tony and Chris, Golf Spy, C Golf Spy T. We're back at it. Wednesday. Lots of driver stuff to talk about, Tony. All the driver things.
All things.
All things drivers.
Finally, most wanted driver 2024 results publishing probably literally minutes before this publishes, so you should be able to check those out immediately.
I cannot wait. And we are absolutely going to be talking about that here. But before we get into that, that is our main topic. We will. There was some golf tournament stuff last week. Bay Hill got a little angry. The conditions such that, ultimately Scottie Scheffler just kind of ran away from the field and hid.
Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh.
Happy learned how to putt. I was going to ask you this. We've kind of said, if Scotty putts average, he can win. If he putts great, nobody else has a chance. If he putts poorly, it's a top 10. So it's like, all right.
That's funny. So I'm looking, I've got the PGA store, PGA Tour stats page on, looking at the season stats for Scotty. And yeah, they've got a radar chart, nice little 5-point radar chart. And Scotty's 5-point radar chart to date is basically a square because off the tee, he's second, or excuse me, off the tee, seventh, approach, second, around the green, eighth, total strokes gained, first. SG putting now 107th, was 144th going into Bay Hill. So that was basically your flat line connecting the other two or other four damn near even points. So yeah, I mean, he went in 1 week from 144th to 107th. If he gets into, say even into the somewhere to the 30 to 50 range, is going to be a problem for everybody else on tour. And it's
Well,
really interesting digging into the stats. Like his issues, he's terrible from inside 10 feet. He's currently ranked 169th from inside 10 feet. You dig even more into the numbers from 4 feet, 4 to 8 feet, he's just not in that top 100. And so, we talk about, right, the switching to a mallet, that greater stability, we tend to notice that more on short putts. So seems like it's a match made in heaven, and I think again it could be a problem for the rest of the tour.
I was going to ask you this, if whether or not, it was a couple of weeks ago, whatever, where, Rory basically said, geez, I wonder if Scotty, if he switches to a mallet, this could be kind of game over for the rest of us. So I really kind of hope he doesn't do that, like gives the rest of us a chance. But is this something that, just general consumers like should look at and go, hey, you know what? He's switching to a mallet. It seems that there's something there for him. I know it's part alignment, and being better aligned, but
Yeah, it's one of those things where we know golfers have a long memory and sometimes have a mindset of what was always or what used to be true is true today. When you go back to mallets, used to be exclusively for that straight back, straight through type of putting stroke, which when you really look at it, almost nobody has. And so it was a case of like the stability of a mallet almost overcame the fact that it probably didn't fit you. But as things have evolved, you've got mallet putters designed for every stroke type, and occasionally a company will make a mallet style available for every stroke type. So hey, if you like this shape, you can get it three different ways. So yeah, it's one of those things where, and coming from a long time small blade guy who made the change to a mallet, I think big picture it is worth it, especially on those shorter putts. Now, absolutely true. Sometimes, like, you just need to go, you know what? I need to change how this looks. So
Well,
just
and to me, it's the
we're gonna.
versatility. Like you've seen, like I said, the mallet, what's available in a mallet style head has changed, not just in terms of, okay, different hosel configurations and shapes and, like you said, toe hang and balance, but there are some mallets that are, I mean, like, look at what Brian Harman putts with. I mean, that thing has its own zip code. It's large enough, but.
Well, everybody with a lab putter, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And not every putter, though, is like that, you know, MOI centric or focused. So there are mallets that feel more like a blade. Like, I'm not going to say they're exactly the same, but like, they're not just, hey, a mallet's a mallet. There are some, you know, different weighting schemes, some that feel closer to maybe a blade you've been playing before. Like, it's not just like, oh, here's a mallet and you got like, you know, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. Yeah, it's 31 flavors.
Yeah, so much more variety than there used to be. So not surprised, mm-hmm. not surprised that it's working. And it's, you know, I don't think we'll ever see the day where blades are obsolete, but you know, there was a time where they outnumbered mallets on tour significantly, and that has shifted. And I think, you know, it's just the path forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
You know, until the USGA decides that that's somehow ruining the game and everybody has to, you know,
That is no longer plain in shape.
Tape a butter knife to a stick and you get what you get. But yeah. So.
Well, yeah. Other question from tour stuff this week. Well, two other things. Number one, I got a huge shout out to. No, not everybody gets fired up about this. I do. I love opposite field events. Because if you watch Bryce Garnett and you watched what happened.
I did not. So whatever you're about to say is a complete surprise to me. I'm tuning in. All right.
When I talk about watching events of consequence and then Hank Haney yells at me, like, there's only four turns. Like, yes, for golfers, for people watching, I get it. But for the people that are playing, for him to see what it meant to him to win, that to me, that's compelling. I love watching that type of an event and seeing a player and being, you know, talk about the trials and tribulations. And, you know, for as much as people watch, you know, like Full Swing or whatever, most tour pros aren't chilling, living in their, you know, $4, $5, $8, $10 million house and in Jupiter or whatever, flying private, setting their schedule, doing this and that. There's way more Bryce Garnetts out there than there are Justin Thomases. And that's just the truth. And so I loved watching that. But Anthony Kim also shot 65.
The glimmer of hope.
So I was going to say, is this an aberration on a shorter course?
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out.
Reason to get excited.
I mean, he went, you know, he's got 6 rounds under his belt now, 3 of them at +6. So that's the negative. And he's got a, you know, a +4 and a +2 that aren't awesome, but the -5 to round out the week. It's a glimmer. It's inconclusive, but I think everything is inclusive. It was not the best round of the day, but a pretty good round to say the least. And, you know, if you can put up 3 rounds at -5, you're going to win a hell of a lot more than you lose. So, mm-hmm. and two rounds at that level, as long as the other one's not a +6, are going to put you kind of in contention at the top of the leaderboard. And again, as we've talked about, it's kind of what LIV needs. So I would say that if you look at the leaderboard from Bay Hill, that was the leaderboard the tour desperately needed. There were names in the top 10. And again, smaller sample size, you know, big picture. Anthony Kim still finished near the bottom. But if you're looking for, hey, you know, something to be excited about moving forward, especially if you see, as I do, Anthony Kim as a potential needle mover for LIV, it's a good sign. We'll see, right? Sample size of now 2, but better than the first time. So, hey.
Yeah, progress. And I'm willing to give him a good chunk of this season. Like, anytime you take a decade off from anything like that, there's going to be rust, all these things. No doubt the talent is there. You don't forget how to play. But to get back into tournament form, et cetera, I think it's as much mental as it is physical, too, going, oh, I can shoot 65. I can go low again. I can do A, B, and C. And like I said, we'll see. For me, it's reason to be optimistic for the Anthony Kim fans out there, no doubt. Before we get into drivers, though, Tony, I want to talk about something that is not a driver. Let's talk about something that is maybe. Well, you're going to tell me. How about this? So on the USGA conforming list on Monday, a club popped up that was a bit of a surprise to all of us involved here. It's a Titleist TSR something. There are letters and numbers involved. So tell me, what do we know about this thing? What isn't, and maybe most importantly, what isn't it?
Yeah, I think what it is almost remains to be seen. So it's on the USGA list as Titleist TSR driver, no numerical designation. You look at the hosel and even the description that the USGA lists the markings, it clues you in. You look at the hosel, it's stamped 2W, which I think we can reasonably
Help me out.
extrapolate
So connect the dots here for me, Tony. What might 2 and W
it's a two
be trying to
wiver.
point me towards?
Yeah, so I think it's what Titleist is classifying as a two wood. Kind of interesting. So the detail I have is it's 280 cc, I believe.
Okay.
So that would put it kind of between the slider mini and the burner mini. Kind of an interesting story here. This is a true prototype as opposed to a prototype, right? Because as like, you can figure out the calendar when Titleist is due to release a new driver, right? We can
Sure.
assume that's going to be late summer. And
Right.
so sometime June-ish, right, whenever they do the tour seating, they'll send an email and announce like, hey, tour prototypes,
Yeah.
that's this kind of prototype, like done deal.
Right.
This is a true prototype. This is a case of had a couple players go to JJ Von Wiesenbeck. He's been on the podcast a couple times, tour operations director. Said, hey, do you guys have something that can do this for me? And really what you're talking about is something you could kind of go after, but on holes where full send with a driver is maybe a little bit too much. And there certainly are some of those at the Players. Probably you could argue one or two at Augusta. You know, we've seen some quirky clubs come out in time for Augusta as well. But this really is a case where, you know, some players were asking for some things. And so JJ took it to the Metalwoods team. Tom Bennett is Titleist fairway guy, kind of heads up and goes, how about this? And what you have is something that has the shape of a 975D. So we're going back a ways here.
Oh, yeah,
Shape of a
that's
nine,
time machine. Yep.
shape of a 97D with obviously a modern fairway wood sole. So the objective being, yeah, it's maybe not as strictly T-centric as some of the other or the other mini driver offering right now. Talking to Titleist, probably nothing that if it ever made it into production, you would expect, and certainly on tour, you wouldn't expect anybody to take their driver out of the bag for this. But
Right.
really, there's no roadmap on this. They don't know what it is, if it's anything, if it's going to be something that tour players find utility in. And even if they do, then the next part of the question is, all right, let's play with it a little bit and see if this is anything that average golfers or even elite amateurs will have any value in.
Well,
And then
right.
if it ticks that box, then maybe it comes into a lineup. But if you're looking at the timeline where Titleist is in the cycle, the odds that something born of this would show up when the next driver come out is slim to none. So if you're betting man, you say, hey, you know, I hope this hits
Yeah.
the market in July, August, whatever it happens to be. Don't bank
Right.
on it. Certainly a curiosity, we'll be keeping our eyes on it, but again, nothing firm as, oh yeah, it's just a matter of time before this comes to retail. It's
Yeah, like I said, slim
entirely
to none.
TBD.
Yeah, slim to none, and Slim may have just left the building. Now it makes me think of, like I said, it's about 100 cc's or so larger than your typical fairway wood. It encroaches in that, like I said, kind of mini driver-ish, and I use that in quotes, type category, which to me says two things. One, for some players, like you said, maybe it was a very shot specific thing where it's like, hey, based on my bag setup, how I play, I'm willing to take out a 3 wood or 5 wood or some one of my woods and use this because I know I'm not going to get in trouble or I'm not going to be in a place where that's going to kind of harm my overall setup for that tournament. Or it's a shot specific type of operation. We saw this a couple of years ago, a number of years ago at the Masters. I'm thinking about Ricky Fowler. I'm
Yep.
thinking about like a 5 wood from
The
Cobra with
F6
rails.
Baffler. Yep.
Because it was like, hey, that second shot on 15, if I can go for it, par 5, I need to launch this thing up, land butterfly, sore feet soft. There you go. Augusta, there are some holes where you want to be able to turn it right to left if you're righty. I'm thinking like 13. But like you said, driver may be too long and too straight.
Yep,
So, does
absolutely.
this become that type of a club for somebody for a specific event. And again, as long as majors are as important as they are, maybe it makes sense to build your equipment around the strategy for, you know, for that course.
Yeah, I'm certainly curious about it. As a guy, I don't hit 3 wood off a tee a lot, but there were, and again, sometimes it's because, well, you know, it's not quite long enough and the doesn't give me any real advantage in terms of straightness. We've seen that data, right? It's just, you're right. Just not going to hit that 3 wood straight unless you're right. A very special player with a 3 wood. It's very rare that happens. And so for me, right. It's like, all right, if this came to market, would I be able to hit it off the fairway? And so looking at, again, you know, there are more to it than just the volume of the club. There's a lot that goes on to how that volume gets laid out, the kind of the shape and stuff like that. But I'm like, SLDR, when TaylorMade's original mini, yeah. There, I had no problem hitting that off the deck. Like, that worked. Mm-hmm. Burner mini, cannot hit it off the deck to save my life. And so you have this TSR that is, in terms of volume, again, not the whole story, but in terms of volume, right between those two.
Yeah.
I'm like, that could be interesting. I don't know if that's too big for me personally. I don't know if it, again, shaping. So I kind of sense, again, with respect for allowances and shape differences, I felt like burner too big is halfway between close enough. I don't know. I think you know, we'll be out at Titleist sometime this summer, and hopefully they'll have one kicking around for us to hit, but we'll see.
Especially if it has an auto flex shaft in it, Tony. For you, that's what you need is whatever this thing is with an auto flex shaft, and let's go have some fun. We'll see what happens. You know, all right, big bulk of the show here, people. So, you know, if you need a break, hit pause right now. Go grab a refill on your Dr. Pepper.
This is what used to be the after show, right here.
Kind of what used to be the after show, but it's like, hey, when we got big testing results to come out, we need to dig into this stuff. So, Tony, I'm going to ask you some questions here. So, yes, we are talking most wanted driver. We're talking driver testing. We're talking all of this data. The first thing when people go to look at this, they're going to notice a couple things that are different. The layout and the scoring.
Big redesign, and I'm really happy with how this looks, and the data is going to be there, and all the stuff we're talking about is going to be able to follow a link and get to the data page. We're going to keep the actual presentation really clean. To an extent, the intent is to keep it simple, you know, kind of lay it all out for people who want it, you know, clean and easy, and then for you guys who want to dig into the data and kind of how we got to the scores, those will be there as well. So yeah, as you mentioned, we've changed the scoring again. I know it sucks, but we moved from a 100-point system to a 10-point system. Again, very simple, right? Everybody can kind of wrap their head around that. Mm-hmm. And how we get there is a little bit different. So one of the things that was important to me is I wanted to be exceptionally true to what we were seeing in the data. And by that, I didn't want to accentuate really small differences and make them appear larger than they were. And so, you know, we start with what we call our efficiency averages, and this is an approach that we came up with 3 or 4 years ago working with Lou Stagner. And it basically starts with the percentage difference from the average at the individual tester level. So, you know, real quick, if your average with ever across all drivers in the test was 260, we would look at each individual one and say, you know, how much above or below on percentage was that? So you might say, hey, the longest one you hit was 5% longer than the average. The worst one you hit, 8% less than the average. So that's the approach we take with all of the metrics. And then we aggregate them across the entire test pool and then turn them back into essentially the numbers you would expect to see on a launch monitor. So that's the way we've done it the last few years. It's a really good approach. We like it, but this year we kind of saw an opportunity to expand on that. And I call it add a different window into the data, right? Because you have data, you collect, we have very, you know, I think we have our methodology as far as how we collect the data is super sound. I think as good as it can be right now, and we may learn something new tomorrow, but right now I'd say it's as good as it can be from the way we handle outliers to how we rotate clubs and make sure everything gets a fair shake, the way we, you know, again, with the efficiency, we're doing it in such a way so that guys that hit it really far don't kind of put the thumb on the scale and kind of overrule or outweigh those who don't hit it as far. So it's a great way to compare or get a meaningful data set when you're dealing with realistically. We have guys who average under 200
sure.
total yards and guys who average over 300. And so you've right. you've got to come up with methods to keep that fair and balanced, not to sound like a terrible Fox News ad, but you know that's the approach we're taking.
You are fair and balanced, Mr. Covey. Yes.
That's one window into it. So the new window into this, and to be real quick, what we do is, and again, the idea of not inflating differences is if you're an average, our average score starts at an 8. And
at what? You
know, at an 8. So that's 8. Kind of our baseline. So everything that's within the same range, statistical range, that's an 8. And if you're a little bit better than that, you can get a 9. And if you're exceptional, which is very rare, we might see something that starts at a 10 for any given individual metric. And likewise, we start in an 8 and you know we get down to the 6s if you're not awesome.
That's pretty, yeah.
So that kind of creates our baseline. And then the second piece of the score, the second contribution, is something new for us. And it's kind of a throwback to what we did when we were using a top group percentage. But basically what we're looking at to complete the score is how often or for what percentage of the test pool for the given metrics that we can do this with was each of these drivers in the top 5. And so
how often did it rank in the top chunk
among kind of like that top 5, that's statistically not perfect, but that's generally going to be about what you get when you group them at the individual level, like hey, these 3 to 7, so 5's a good number, or better than for this guy, these are the clear best group of drivers. Mm-hmm. So to keep it simple and understandable, we use a top 5 and we look at that percentage across all of our key metrics, and that makes up kind of the rest of the score. And you get, and in doing so, you find some really interesting things. You'll see clubs that on average for a given metric are middle of the table, but then when you start looking at that individual performance, you sometimes see big jumps, like on average it was kind of middle, but man, if you hit this really well, if this was good for you, it was really good for you. And conversely, you see some situations where hey, if this was bad for you for a given metric, it was really bad. And so it's again having that second view, that second window into the data, I think gives us I think it's a more robust approach, and frankly I think you know inside the walls at my golf spy we're really happy with the approach and what it's gotten us and how it's played out. And so, you know, we'll talk about this very soon, I'm sure. But when we look at our top 3, for example, we're really happy with what we got, not because, you know, we thought these were great drivers, but you get the kind of the something for everyone. You know, like if you just want pure distance, if we got one for you, if you're looking for something that's going to just go straight, we've got one for you. And if you need a little help, maybe you need a little draw bias, but you still want to hit it long and straight, we've got a surprisingly really good one for you. And so within even that top 3, we have a really, really good mix. And, you know, as is usual, as per usual, when you kind of look at the top handful, maybe even the top 2, that you could, for specific reasons, you could make a case for a lot of them. But yeah, I'm particularly excited about kind of not only what we got, but how we got there this year.
Yeah. So we're in what I kind of like about it, then we're going to dive into some of the results here for those of you that are like data. I just want the answers. Answers are coming right to you. And that's what I like about it is you can go either way. If you're the consumer, you just want to know, hey, what won or what did really well? Give me a couple, like you said, this one is most forgiving, this one is most accurate, whatever. We have that, it's clean, it's right there, it's easy to see, you get all the information you want. If you want to dive
caveat, don't, like, each of these scores are calculated independently, so don't try and take an accuracy score, distance score, and a forgiveness score and put them together and expect that it's going to somehow line up with the overall score. We are trying to lay these out on a scale. So but the same math is applied. It's just kind of how we get to that final number.
Yeah, and if people want to dive into that piece, like I said, we'll have that data chart and that stuff there. So let's go to this. Let's just start with overall, then we'll kind of dive in, and I have some questions for you. But give me, let's just start the rundown. Overall, what happened, Tony?
Our most wanted driver of 2024 is the Ping G430 Max 10K. And it got there, I would say, largely on the strength of its, on the straightness. So this one, it was the rare case in which we look at our our straightness metric, our baseline, it started at a 10. It was just phenomenally straight.
Like noticeably ridiculously straighter.
Yeah. And so starting from there, that's obviously what stood out. We're like, my God, everybody, mm-hmm. you know, loosely, everybody hit it right. super straight. And then from there, you start looking at the distance and our scale, right? Our baseline for the max 10K, 8. So for both carry and total. So in that respect, you would say average distance. Mm-hmm. But this is a case when we start looking at the individual golfer. Right? How did it do?
Right.
It was in the top 5 for 23% of the test pool.
Okay.
And that is well above the average. The average tends to be about 15%.
Okay.
So again, not necessarily the absolute longest driver, but for a decent percentage of golfers, it's going to be long enough that you're not going to notice that it's not the absolute mm-hmm. longest. And yeah, obviously, so under our forgiveness metrics, it wasn't the best. And again, let's be clear, MOI does not necessarily translate. The highest MOI is not always the most forgiving.
Correct.
But it wasn't far off the lead. And so, you know, just exceptionally well-rounded driver. If you're trying to absolutely maximize distance, if that's kind of your focus, I would say, hey, maybe you go down the list where you know, the triple diamond.
Let's do that. So that was so best overall, number one max driver. For, like I said, most wanted based on our scoring, Ping G430 Max 10K. Number two,
triple diamond, Callaway Paradigm AI Smoke triple diamond. long as you would expect, and when we were out at Callaway, they talked about making it kind of the most forgiving or the most consistent triple diamond ever. And some mm-hmm. of that came through in testing, so that did really well. Next on the list, again, another strong showing for Callaway, AI Smoke Max D. Little bit of draw bias. And again, mm-hmm. that's one where it was, I would say, like, it's actually the one that we have listed as the longest. And that's, again, starting with that base score of 9 for both carry and total. So, you know, mm-hmm. among the longest. Nobody got to 10 in either one of those. So in that group of absolute total longest for across the test pool. And then when we look at, and this was surprising for what's supposed to be a draw bias driver, but for carry yards, 40% of the test pool, it was in the top 5, which is absolutely astonishing. And looking at total yards, it's not going to roll as much as some others. Still 36% of the test pool had this in its top 5. So, you know, basically 1 in 3 golfers, this was in the longest for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just absolutely excellent. Yeah. Surprising, again, for a draw bias driver. And not necessarily, you know, we tend to, with our test, for most of our testers, we set them up to try and take a lot of that draw bias out because it's very difficult to test
sure.
slicers.
right.
So it's just one of those things where I wouldn't say that this is heavily draw biased. If you just need a little bit of help, and you still want distance, and you still want forgiveness, and you want to hit it straight. Like, yeah, this one.
I call it like draw enabled. It's like draw enabled. Like, fair. You know, and it's funny, like looking at that, and obviously you've been knee deep in the data for many, many weeks here. I looked at it, and it's interesting. Sometimes it does reflect your own personal testing. Sometimes it doesn't at all. And it's like, well, that didn't necessarily work out for me. You know, if it was the longest for 33% or in the top 5 longest drivers for 33% of the pool, that means that it wasn't for the other, you know, 2/3 or whatever.
But it's a game of probabilities, right? Like which everything we test. And again, I always say, like, if you're going to go get fit professionally, if you're going to drive up to Canada and go see Ian Frazier.
Yeah.
You know, hey, maybe you're going to have some stuff you want to look at because of this. But mm-hmm. if you're going to get fit, right? Like. That's what that's for. But if you're going to be like at least half of the golfing population and not going to do a full fitting, or you're going to kind of do a self fitting and you want to know where to start, or you just want to buy something now and maybe not even try it, that's where this kind of stuff, like, again, it's, you know, you just want the best odds, and that's what we're trying to give you.
Well, and it was like, you know, to me, it's almost like Paradigm AI Smoke Triple Diamond and the Max 10K kind of got to like a very similar result in two slightly different ways, meaning like Ping unbelievably straight without giving up too much or even much at all in the way of ball speed and distance. So it nailed the straight part and still got, you know, like I said, very, very robust rankings in the other areas. Take the smoke triple that, like that thing was built more for speed and distance, and it got that. It nailed that, but then without giving up too much in the way of forgiveness. So it's kind of like, you know, there's kind of like yin and yang, depending on like maybe who you are or what you want. You could maybe make an argument that depending on which type of golf, do you want distance first with good forgiveness, or do you want, you know, excellent straightness with good distance? And there you go.
Yeah, and that's kind of what was exciting to me about where this top three shook out, is like, it really is like, you're going to get, you think of it as a triangle, right? Three things: distance, accuracy, forgiveness. You're going to get decent amount of the low end of that. And so it's like, yeah, I'm going to be in good place with any of these. And it's just, which direction do I want to lean to get a little bit more of this? Mm-hmm. And there's going to be some things, like, we know, as good as I'm going to tell you that the max 10K is, it's absolutely not lost on me that somebody is going to look at that address, see that massive footprint and just go,
too big for me. Yeah.
And conversely, somebody's going to look at that triple diamond in it and look at how compact that appears at address and go, And you know, like the Max D even might look a little close to some people, and they may go, And so it's
right.
You know, you've got good choices, and I would argue just kind of looking down this top list. So going from Max D to TSR3, which tested really good again for us.
Yeah,
QI10 LS is in the mix. 430 LST in the conversation again. Dark Speed LS, for some people, that was another one where, you know, by some metrics, it was middle of the table. But when you look at the individual stuff, it kind of pops for some people. So, and there is, like, you see that too, where it goes the other way. I'll single out the Kirkland, where if you look at kind of the average distance or the distance number, it's kind of middle of the table for distance.
Yep.
But for showing up in that top group, less than 9% of the test pool. Mm-hmm. So again,
but it hardly is going to cost you anything. That's why we call it out on value, right? So
dirt cheap. So yeah.
You know, let's go through some of these individual scenarios. Cause now I have some questions for you.
Because, cool.
You know, people are going to take a look. I got questions for you now. So this year, I want to say, and please correct me if the stat's wrong, but when we look just at the distance perks, I know people care about ball speed and numbers and distance, and you should, particularly with the driver. It's the only club that doesn't really have a speed limit on it, where hitting it a little bit further is probably going to be a good thing. 15 yards, longest to shortest this year. Is that right?
That sounds right. Believe it or not, I do not have the raw data in front of me of all the things. But yeah, that's typically what we would expect to see.
So my question for you, that is that indicative of just drivers in general becoming more like, because I think in the past we've had maybe more, like one year is like maybe 25 or 30, and I could be totally making this up as well. But to me, for a test at this magnitude with this, you know, this many people and the number of models that we test, 15 yards did not sound like a crazy amount to me.
Yeah, it's one and a half, about one and a half club difference. And that's, and again, a little bit of that is individual. You do have guys that hit what is on average the shortest, they'll hit it the longest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, so let's see, where's my total? Here we go. So across our pool, yeah, it's 15 and change.
Okay. All right.
And again, all so right. Looking at just the average, and again, understanding that we also consider the individual versus going, well, the average says this is the longest end of conversation. So if you're looking just raw average by just a hair, and again, this is why we look deeper. It's literally by just a little bit more than a quarter of a yard. So, you know, your foot. The triple diamond at 255.75 versus... And this one is gonna, shock people what the bottom is, but the Crank Formula Fire Pro, so kind of the Bryson club for our test pool, the shortest at 240 and change. Also, and that's, again, I mean, I'm not shocked by that. It's not a club that's designed for the masses. I wouldn't expect the driver that works exceptionally well for Bryson is going to work well for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Even beyond the loft consideration, right? Like, it's just, it's a big face.
Yeah. A lot of face. Next question. Biggest surprise. So when you look at this, biggest kind of shock, and it can be a good shock. It could be a bad shock. So I'm also going to ask you biggest disappointment. Because companies look through this, people look through it, and they go, you have certain expectations. Like, what jumped out to you as like, oh, man, I did not see that coming?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and it's always like just understanding what the reader reaction is going to be and anticipate. And, you know, everybody, you know, people will accuse us of being on the take or trying to crap all over somebody. What? And we, you know, no, we always know that's coming. Like, it's unavoidable. That. Like I said, I trust our process. I think it's... I'm really comfortable with it. The one that stood out for me was the TaylorMade QI10 Max. And again, that is
their 10K driver. The one that they're 10K,
yeah. That one, just looking at the numbers, like it was painting with broad strokes here. It was slow. It wasn't particularly long. Again, looking, you know, you'll see where it falls on the average chart. It's definitely towards the low end. That window into individual performance. It was, take a guess. How many testers do you think it was in the top five for?
For distance?
Mm-hmm.
Or just overall? For distance?
Yeah.
So you said average was, I'm going to say 9%.
That's the number of golfers in our test. It was in the top five for.
Really?
So, and we look at it, and again, it's,
that is surprising. Okay.
And it was, you know, it was on the spinny side. And again, this isn't, you know, TaylorMade isn't saying if you are looking to maximize distance, you want our longest driver, go here. As we would expect, the QI10 LS was the longest. That was, you know, that was one I would look at and go, yeah, if you really want distance, they've made it more forgiving than past iterations. This one looks pretty good. That's the one I would lean to. So that one was good. I would say the standard QI10 kind of average and the max definitely on the low end of things, especially, and again, and there's a transition taking place where, you know, TaylorMade historically is a distance company. And now they're kind of moving.
Right. That's where they've excelled in the driver category for sure. Yeah,
but if I'm looking at, we talked about it, right? The road articles when they came out, the battle of 10K drivers, this is the year. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, it's not close. Like, this is if you're gonna buy based off an MI, like I want 10,000 MOI because I want, because that sounds good.
Yeah, buy ping.
So it's a clear choice to me, and that's not to say that, you know, you may not through a comprehensive fitting find your way into the TaylorMade.
Sure.
But dealing with the stock components as we do in our test, that one was kind of the surprise. Going the other direction, right? Like good surprises.
Yeah.
Good surprises with a healthy dose of disappointment. So this was by far the best showing for PXG drivers, especially in the forgiveness. I mean, so in general, good, like both really forgiving, strong showing, you know, not runaway sensations, but certainly the best showing we've seen to date. Unfortunately, we were only able to test the Gen 6s. We could not get the Black Ops.
This is not Black Ops, just to clarify.
PXG did not provide them to us.
So this is not Black Ops, this is previous generation.
Yep, so it would be interesting to see how, you can still get them and you can get them at a good price, so something to think about. Yeah, and then kind of, I wouldn't even call it a surprise. It's just one of those things that every year I kind of go, what's going on here? Because, and you can look at this, you can go back historically and see this trend, but it's apparent last year, apparent this year, when we look at Callaway always has three drivers, right? Or has for the last little while. And the triple diamond historically tests really well for us because it's fast and it's long and distance matters a lot in the driver category.
Sure.
We talked about the Paradigm X last year. And how good that tested for us and what a surprise that is. And year after year after year, kind of that stock model this year, just the Paradigm Smoke Max, very much middle of the table. So that's what I'm like, why does that, why does that seem to happen? So,
yeah. When you said, next question, moving forward, we talked like dark speed, like you said, QI10 LS, some of these ones where you're like, if there's a certain situation, we start to see drivers or things maybe excel in a certain area or based on different parameters. So if you're like, hey, if this sounds like you, this maybe should be in your testing pool. And it's not just, you know, okay, everybody should go try this, 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 and this. Okay, that's fine. But give me a couple scenarios where if you're, you know, if you have a certain attribute or certain situation that you may want to test or start with maybe a couple of drivers that we haven't, you know, like I said, talked about a ton.
Yeah, obviously, so
yeah.
Some of the stuff, the first one that stands out I mentioned earlier, if you need a low spin driver, I'm not saying it's going to be the best, but one that, that has the potential to kind of shoot to the top that that maybe isn't reflected in that that kind of strict data table. The Cobra Dark Speed LS is one I mentioned, right? That's one where it, you know, the averages weren't great, but it did hit the board for 20 to 25% of the test pool in our distance categories, depending on whether we're looking at carry or total. You know, if you want to similarly, if you just want to bet the farm on low spin and distance, looking at carry yards, you know, I mentioned it's hard to get away from the Callaway combo. Strixon ZX7 MK2 was excellent again for that metric again this year. TSR4 is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Where that one just pops for distance. If we're talking about kind of the forgiveness stuff, let's see. If you're kind of, again, the PXG stuff, I mean, I think they top the table for forgiveness. Titleist TSR2. Again, is one of those where it'll finish middle of the table, but it does everything well. There's not really, it doesn't necessarily blow the doors off in any category, but it's kind of one of those exceptionally well-balanced ones.
Okay.
You know,
I'm going to ask you this question a different way too, is, you know, we see it, I'll use cars because it's a bad analogy that gets overused, so I might as well use it again. Year over year, incremental changes, you know, I don't get mad at the 2017 Honda Accord if I have a 2016 Honda Accord because they changed a couple of things, whatever. But sometimes when you look over like a run of 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you go, man, for whatever reason, that one worked. Like it just kind of pulled it all together that year. And you kind of see maybe some of those trends and things as well. So like, is there, I mean, we saw this with like, I think of like Ping, like, 400 LST was one of those drivers. It was like, yep, that thing came together that year and way to go, Ping. Congratulations. Like,
yeah,
that
one of those, like it fits and performs well for a higher percentage of golfers than it should. I think is kind of where you start to see that kind of thing.
Do we have anything like that this year where you think, hey, maybe in 5, 10 years, we're going to look back and go, man, 2024. Yeah, it was, that was boom, this club. Like, does Ping set that standard now with the 10? Like, is this going to be
that type of
thing for Ping maybe or no?
I just don't know with the 10K and the kind of the things you have to do to get there, if it's ever going to be kind of that universal thing. Now, if you can get, whether it's through materials evolution, but again, man, to get there, you kind of need, you almost have to have that full, that big footprint. But if you could get sort of like LS speed performance, if you will, launch and spin, and still get that, and also it flies ridiculously straight like the 10K. So yeah, maybe this is a stepping stone into that. Kind of attacking it from the other side, like the triple diamond to me as a compact low spin head that still flies relatively straight. So again, if you can get the launch conditions you want out of it. And, you know, I'd mentioned, so you and I both ended up in triple diamond. Bennett, who, I mean, we joke with her all the time. Like, she notoriously fights a slice.
Yeah.
Struggles to hit it straight. Doesn't necessarily struggle for height. She's not the fastest player, but she's not, you know, she's not out there swinging 75 miles an hour either.
No.
And she got fit into an 8-degree triple diamond.
Right.
And so, like, there's your, like,
and you go, there's no way. That makes no sense.
Are you kidding me? But then you see it and you're like, yeah, you know, here she is, and in, she's hitting less loft than either of us, hitting it straight, and and she's doing that because something in the design voodoo of Triple Diamond this year works. Now, we've also seen it's not unheard of for a company to take a huge step forward. Go, we did something really good this year, and then the next year go, we're just going to undo that, go in a different direction, and trash all the goodwill.
Yeah, and so I guess in that vein too, like I said, because we see things over time, if you had to give like a most improved award or a company that you're looking at going, man, I'm just kind of watching trend lines, and if I were a betting person, I might want to put some money down on 2025.
It's tough because, I mean, we've been doing this now for long enough where we know there's going to be one or two Callaway models that perform really well every year. There's always going to be a TaylorMade model that's at least in the conversation. And QI10 LS, I think, is, you know, it's up there. There's, you know, Cobra doesn't necessarily hit the top of the board, but there's always one that's sneaky good for the right golfer. In terms of trends, like it's, you kind of have to kind of start a new trend. You kind of have to start with brands that maybe haven't historically been great performers. And so, all right, like I said, it's a shame we couldn't test Black Ops because, you know, if we're going on a 3-release trend, PXG is trending up, and you know, given where they started way back with the original, you know, driver that spun like a 7-iron, they've come a long way. And you know, it's an odd one to point out, but the evolution of Titleist from, again, where they were when we first started testing is like, hey, if you maybe not a 7-iron, but drivers that spun like 5-irons, right? Like they weren't going to challenge anything, and it wasn't, if we saw them at the bottom of the table, it wasn't a surprise. And now we're like, all right, we saw something with TS. We're like, okay, this is fundamentally different than where they were. And TSI, we're like, this is pretty good. TSR3, like that's one where, again, not our winner. I mean, that is such a solid number four in our testing this year where, and again, that's one where you go, if I'd, this is with off the rack stock components. Like we said, we try and do our best job of fitting our guys. But I mean, if you're going to go in and have a selection of shafts to really, really take it to the next level, I mean, that's going to be, it's a Titleist is going to be in the conversation every time. So if next year we saw a Titleist win, I'd be like, yeah, that was the trend. If next year we saw, you know, we can get a PXG driver in, and I mean, it seems like almost wild to even suggest that it could win, but you can see a path now that maybe wasn't there. And I do see, like, you know, I feel like Tour Edge is trending downward. There were years where they seemed like they were right there, and I think, you know, maybe that's going the wrong direction a little bit. Curious to see where Wilson goes. We've seen, like, they're better. Can they take another step forward? So yeah, I mean, but every year's different, and you just don't know, you know, as manufacturers try to bob and weave, and you know, not, if we're being brutally honest, we know this, right? You want to make something better every year, but with 1 year release cycle, sometimes all you can do is make something different. So like, different can be better, worse, the same. So if you're asking top of the list, just based on kind of the fittings we went through, and you know, to an extent what I have here, right? If I'm sort of unconfident, if I'm curious about any one of these and say, hey, I think this might be for me, I want to try it, I'm sure I can make that happen. But yeah, top of my list is the Triple Diamond. And you know, the way I see that going is I'm gonna get it out on the course, and if I like what I see and it holds up, is if it's as good on the course as it was in the fitting, like it'll stay there. I mean, it just felt like, no, it to me was an absolute monster. But if it doesn't go well, then for me, the fallback is always going to be a Titleist right now, because I am dialed in. I have those, I'm comfortable with them. So that's always the one you know, for the last couple of 2-3 years has been like, all right, this is where we start. Can we beat it? And so that'll be the approach. I'm going to go out there with Triple Diamond because, again, I loved what I saw in the fitting. But if it doesn't work out, you know, we'll fall back to Titleist and be probably content right there. And we'll see. You know, I'm certainly curious about Black Ops just based on this. But, you know, we haven't seen them. So I don't know. A driver that effectively takes those white stakes and pushes them farther away, it's really intriguing. And so that is, and that, again, that was one where it didn't, and yeah, I wasn't, you were there, I wasn't at my best in terms of how I felt, how I was swinging, or even, like, I could honestly barely move it, ping, but there were situations where I would hit one and think, that's going to be into that right side netting, if not over. And then you're like, oh, that's right edge of the fairway, maybe just into the rough. How the hell does that even happen? So it's a lot to look at. I feel like, especially for the fitting aspect of it too, like it's not perfect, but in a lot of ways, you know, if you're you're either a back CG guy or you're not. So for all the talk of MOI and all this stuff, like I'm not a guy who typically does well when you push that MOI way high. Like I have a limit and then it's diminishing returns where it just doesn't feel right. I move the club slower, all these things that we talk about that can happen. But at the same time, if you said to me, you know, you can wave a magic wand and make it so and said, look, man, your best drives, if you absolutely, like say on average, you're going to be 5 yards shorter, your absolute best drives are going to be, call it 10 yards shorter. You're going to lose a lot on your absolute best because the spin is going to high. You're not, but you're going to hit it OB 50% less often. I mean, I would take that deal. I would take that deal. So begrudgingly, but I would sit down and run the math, and I don't even have to because, you know, I talked to Lou Stagner enough. We know what that math looks like. I'm going to take it. And so, yeah, I'm kind of with you where that's a case where if things went south as they did, and it happened last year where I started the year off spraying, it wasn't cool. And so I was like, let's go to the ping. Let's go to the LST. And I did that and straightened myself out. And then eventually went back to something that was going to give me a little more pop. And so, you know, I could have that same progression again this year, only instead of the LST, it might be to the max 10K. We'll see.
I love that. And with that, stay tuned, people. There's always going to be more information coming out next week, the week after, all these kind of things. Find us, follow us on the interwebs. Let us know what questions you have. Until then, we out.